Welcome to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort, a show all about life on Playground Earth. We are spirit, joyous, expansive, and unlimited, here in physical bodies for the fun of it. We've got a fantastic show for you today, and later we'll be taking your calls and answering your questions regarding life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Joan will be giving free 5-minute psychic readings on any topic you like. She can look at relationships, careers, past lives, deceased loved ones, and future decisions. Call in toll-free at 1-877-230-3062. Tune in to chat with your host, Joan Newcomb, owner of Life Transformations Unlimited. As a trained clairvoyant, spiritual teacher, and counselor, she's helped people with professional and spiritual growth since 1981. She's a matrix energetics practitioner and certified professional coach, incorporating quantum consciousness transformation into her practice. It's her passion to connect you with your inner wisdom and to encourage you to fully manifest your true self in all aspects of your life. You can learn more about her by going to her website at www.joannewcomb.com. That's www.joannewcomb.com. And now, your host of Adventures in Density and Effort, Joan Newcomb.
Welcome to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort for Tuesday, December 29th. I'm your host, Joan Newcomb, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington today and every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. You are listening to Kevin MacLeod's Sunshine. My guest today is Kara L.C. Jones, Grief and Creativity Coach. Kara is exploring the heart of life through her work at www.motherhenna.com. And in addition to offering customized coaching for individual clients, she has embraced the collaborative realms as a key to living a meaningful life. She does Ms. Teletrainings, hosts small group telecircles, and Heart of Life and Death and self-paced sessions, Griefed Finding Our Way. Her Duck Mrs. Duck books are a wonderful gift for grieving parents and families, and her websites are www.motherhenna.com and www.codapress.com. And just a couple of announcements first is I'm at East West Books in Seattle every Wednesday, so that's tomorrow, doing readings at my regular time from 12 to 6 p.m. And for the winter, I'm offering mini readings, 15 minutes for $25, and 30 minutes and hour-long readings as well at one-third off my private practice rates. But the mini readings are special for you folks who are, you know, rushed during the holidays and, you know, budgets are tight. You can come in and just get a mini reading for me. And the phone number to call there is 1-800-587-6002. So that's at East West Bookshop, 1-800-587-6002. And those are face-to-face readings. I don't do phone readings from that spot. Something else to let folks know is that I have an online class starting in January, How to Be Psychic, Clairvoyant Training. In other words, how to do what I do. And you can find more about that by going to my website, www.joannewcomb.com, for more details. And for more information about my private practice of doing psychic readings, mystic mentorship coaching, and matrix energetics sessions, you can also go to my website, www.joannewcomb.com. And this show is on Facebook groups, so if you'd like to, go to Facebook and groups and search for Adventures in Density and Effort, and join the group and join the fun. And I send updates of when I'm going to be doing things on that group. And I'm also on Twitter, joannewcomb.com, if I haven't said my name often enough. So that's all for me right now. And let's bring on our guest, Kara Jones. Hi there, Kara. How are you doing?
Hey, Joan. I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
So we talked about having you on at this time because we've just been through the holidays. We still have one more holiday coming up, New Year's. But your work revolves around grief and creativity, and I thought, well, this would be a perfect time to talk about both of those things. Why don't you share about your work and what that means to you?
You know, it's interesting. When I tell people that I work in grief and creativity, I usually get some kind of response like, oh, I'm not very creative, you know, or I'm not an artist. Or if they happen to be a caregiver, they might say something like, I don't really use art therapy, you know, I'm not a poetry therapist or that kind of thing. And it's interesting to me, you know, a subset of the creativity that I use in my own life is definitely art and writing. But I'm really talking about sort of a radical creativity, you know, an everyday creativity. It's looking at that moment of trauma, you know, where the grief really hit you, and the creativity it takes to move your body across space and time, you know, into learning how to live life again in the face of that loss. It takes a huge amount of creativity to do that. And so while my own practice of creativity does involve art, I'm talking about a bigger definition of creativity. And it's interesting that when I engage people and explain that and start to talk about that, they go, oh, really? Oh, okay. They start to give themselves credit for the creativity that they are using. And, you know, especially for the holidays, I think in the face of grief and loss, we have to be pretty creative when our hearts are hurting so much. And, you know, I'm even starting to see now religious ceremonies and services. Blue Christmas, they call them Blue Christmas services.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen those happening, popping up around the world, really, in the last couple of years. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about, radically creative. What do you do when you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner and, you know, your child has died within the last year and somebody, you know, starts the, let's go around the table and say what we're grateful for. And you don't feel grateful for anything, you know, life is still sucking. how do you get radically creative in that moment? Right? What do? To soothe your heart and stay present with what's happening with everyone around the table. And, you know, it can be as simple as setting a place at a holiday table with an empty chair that represents all the people you're missing. You know, it doesn't have to be something elaborate and expensive and, you know, up to the top. It can be pretty simple.
So it's really, it's comforting to acknowledge their energetic presence even if they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the worst thing you can do is just sort of stiff upper lip and go on as if everything is fine and dandy when, of course, it isn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing is that, you know, while the physical, what's lost is the physical manifestation, you know, the body of the person where you would aim your love, right? There is some amount of, you know, closure and sense of that physicalness being gone, but the energy and the heart of the love, you know, the relationship of love doesn't just end, right? And so we, part of the, you know, some people will call it healing, but part of what happens after a major grief is you're trying to relocate that love, that energy, you know, so you don't have the physical person to direct it towards. So how do you, you know, sort of re-channel, right, or refocus that relationship, that love that continues? Yeah, because the person might not physically be here, but the energy definitely exists.
So setting a chair is one creative way of doing that. What are some other creative ways that people can use to sort of walk through their grief at this time?
Yeah, and we've seen lots of, there's a, on the MISS Foundation website, missfoundation.org, there's a section on their website for the Kindness Project. And so we've heard lots of stories through the Kindness Project of how people are creatively doing these things. And just a few of the examples that really struck me, one of the times of the year that has always been pretty difficult for me is the start of a new school year. You know, if my son were alive, what grade would he be starting this year, you know, and what kind of school shopping would we be doing together, and, you know, what's the cool thing that kids are into that he'd want on a book bag or something, you know. That's always been a really hard time of the year for me. And I had a friend, Nancy, whose son Joel died also, and we were talking one day, and she said she just decided she was going to shop for Joel anyway. She was going to go, and in the size she's, you know, clothes she thought he'd be wearing and the book bag she thought the kids would think was cool, you know, she went school shopping. She just went all out and did it. What she did with the items after she was done shopping was she went to a local food bank and asked to be paired with a family who maybe didn't have so much budget going on this year, you know, to get their child ready for school. And she donated the book bag stuffed full of clothes and school supplies and stuff to the food bank to gift to this child who was the same age as her son would have been. I just thought, oh, my God, that's so freeing. Mm. It was just such a you know, an active and invested with love and energy and a complete refocus of what, you know, she felt she, as a parent, she would have done those things for Joel anyway if he'd have been here. So she went ahead and did them, you know, and then gifted it forward. That was just an amazingly simple thing. And gifts she gave me, because we do that now. Some of the other things we've heard, when you're doing stocking, you know, at Christmas, to include a stocking for all the people who, you know, ancestors and children who've died, whoever you're remembering and missing, include a stocking for them. And if you have a family that's willing to play along, sometimes people don't have that, but if you do, or you can create a space with friends, you know, just before or after the holidays, to write letters, write notes to the people that you're missing, and stuff the stocking full of these little notes. And then on the actual gift-giving day, you know, in time, when you're sort of going around, you're taking turns opening gifts and that kind of thing, to have one of the turns always be to pull one of the notes out of the stocking and share it, you know, have somebody read it out loud. It makes the people who are missing and the love that's being refocused, you know, become a part of the present moment, what's happening with everybody in the room. So, you know, again, it doesn't have to be elaborate and spend something over the top. It can be pretty simple.
So I just want to let folks know, since this is airing after Christmas, something that was occurring to me is that on the level of spirit, there is no time or space. So if you're listening to this and it's like, oh, that's a fantastic idea and we just missed Christmas, well, the deceased loved ones will experience joy if you pull out a stocking and do this right now, if you feel like doing that between now and, you know, New Year's. You could still have a Christmas and have that sense of, not completion, but interaction with them on this level, and you can incorporate this into your you know, family tradition next year.
Yeah, that comes up a lot of times too around Day of the Dead. We do a lot of you know, rituals and kind of things as a family and with other artists that collaborate around Day of the Dead, and that's around Halloween, November 1st. And sometimes I will meet up with new people right after those events have happened, and we're sharing the pictures of the sugar skulls and the altars that we make, little ofrendas that we make in the house and stuff. And they'll say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, I missed it. And I always tell people, you know, really, an ofrenda, you know, the love you have for that person is not just on, you know, Halloween Day when they believe the souls of the children return, or November 1st or Day of the Dead. It's all year round. If you want to have a little, you know, a friend on a shelf in your house that has a sugar skull on it all year round, you absolutely go for it. You can do that. You don't have to wait. And then next year you know about it and you can incorporate it and participate in collaborations then too.
So I'm going to want to talk to you more after we come back from the break about other things that you can do year round too. But I want to remind folks right now that you're listening to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort. I'm your host, Joan Newcomb. We have to stop for a commercial break right now, but stay tuned as we're talking to Kara Elsie Jones, Grief and Creativity Coach.
Enjoyed listening to Joan's mini readings for Contact Talk Radio callers? If you're in the Seattle area, Joan does intuitive readings at East West Bookshop on 6500 Northeast Roosevelt every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. and one Saturday a month. These are offered at a vastly discounted rate from her regular phone and in-studio sessions. So contact East West Bookshop at 1-800-587-6002 to schedule a reading with Joan Newcomb.
Feel like you've been spinning your wheels in key areas of your life? Does your existence feel too superficial or one-dimensional? Do you wish for more of a sense of aliveness in your life? Then Joan's Mystic Mentorship Coaching is for you. Mystic Mentorship Coaching gives you the traction to move forward and see real progress in your life. With the expert assistance of Joan Newcomb through regular phone sessions, you will learn to connect with your inner wisdom and fully manifest your true self in all aspects of your life. Joan has been helping people transform their lives on a spiritual and personal growth level for 27 years. Email her today at joan@joannewcomb.com. That's joan@joannewcomb.com. And transform your life today.
Has the density of the planet Earth gotten you down? Are you experiencing too much effort in creating your reality and not enough fun? You deserve a private psychic reading by Joan in person or over the phone. Joan gives amazingly accurate insights and offers clear and compassionate guidance about your life, relationships, family, career, money, future, and more. Contact Joan today. Email her at joan@joannewcomb.com. And hey, listen up. Because she's giving a special just for you, mention that you've been listening to the show on Contact Talk Radio and receive 10% off the cost of a session. Don't waste another minute. Email joan@joannewcomb.com and shine some light on your life today.
Welcome back. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort, and I'm your host, Joan Newcomb. We're talking to Kara Elsie Jones, Grief and Creativity Coach. Kara explores the heart of life through her work at motherhenna.com. That's motherhenna.com. And in addition to offering customized coaching for individuals, she's embraced the collaborative realms as a key to meaningful life. She does Ms. Teletrainings. She hosts small group telecircles. They're called The Heart of Life and Death, and also self-paced sessions, Grief, Finding Our Way. She's also written some Mrs. Duck books that are a wonderful gift for grieving parents and families. And you can find out more about her at www.motherhenna.com and www.codapress.com. Now, Kara, before we went to the break, we were talking about ways that, creative ways, to incorporate the energetic presence of those who've passed in holiday times. And we've just been through Christmas. You also mentioned Day of the Dead, which is October 31st. The thing I was thinking is that from my mystic perspective is that, you know, these holiday times are when the veil is thinnest and we really do feel and connect to our loved ones that have passed. But there's also their birthdays and there's anniversary times that they're pretty close as well. Do you have any other suggestions along those lines for creativity during those times that people might be grieving those lost loved ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of my sort of radical creativity was looking at those holiday times, like you said, where there's some sort of ritual, there's some sense of ritual, and things that we'll do on Mother's Day or Christmas or Day of the Dead, and looking at how we can take some of those practices and use them in everyday life, because the love and the grief and that whole journey that comes after someone we love died is an everyday practice, right? So simple things. I have a candle that I light every day, and you know, I always light it thinking about my son. But as other things come up throughout the year too, if I meet another bereaved parent who is newly on this path, I might think of them when I light the candle in the morning. So something as simple as that. Then there are one of the things that came, you know, across my awareness after our son died was Jizo. J-I-Z-O is Bodhisattva of Buddhist. And there are some Jizo gardens around. One is at the Great Bell Monastery down in down near Portland. And there are other ones in the country now, too, in the U.S. now. And there are many of them in Japan. And there is a ritual of, it's a silence. You're sort of walking through the garden silently. And then you will tie something red, a red string, a red bib, a red hat, put a red hat onto a Jizo statue. And sometimes a little note might be written and put into the pocket of the bib.
And how do you spell that again? Oops, sounds like we might have lost her. This will be interesting to see how we can possibly get her to come back on if we've lost her. Because we need... Hello?
Are you there, Joan?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
That was an exciting moment. You passed to the other side and came back again. We're so glad to have you here.
I was really visiting the Jizo Garden.
Okay. See, did you go to the light?
I did.
So, yes, actually, how do you spell that, those gardens again?
It's J-I-Z-O.
That's J as in John or something?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jizo, okay. Of course, it's Japanese, so it would be in a totally different symbol, but...
Exactly. The Great Bao Monastery has a lot of information. If you do a Google search for Great Bao. And so I have a little Jizo statue that I keep. And so sometimes I'll do a silent ritual for myself, you know, throughout the year that sort of mirrors that kind of ritual that they do. But down at the Great Bell Monastery and at the other monasteries around the country, they do those ceremonies throughout the year. I think two or three times a year those happen. And they're free. And they're for anyone of any religion. You don't have to be Buddhist to participate in it. It's just a meditation, you know, just a walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that if you Google Jizo, it comes up with what the statues look like and the different things about it's special to pregnant women and those whose children have died. So there's a Dharma crafts about that too. Now, you've got several books available. I've been mentioning the Mrs. Duck books. So tell us a bit about those.
Yeah, the Mrs. Duck book was something I wrote right after our son died. And it's just a little story. It's a conversation between a duck and a woman. and it's just a simple story about, again, about relocating the love that you have for this child. You know, you physically, there was going to be a physical child with you that you were going to parent and give love and time and energy and, you know, money and love to. And so what do you do with that now? And so it's a conversation between the two of them, and this is just sort of prompting the woman with some ideas about what she might do. And that book has been out for about 10 years now, and we've seen it used in care packets and memory boxes that go out to bereaved parents after the death of a child. But I've also had the book find its way to other people who have lost you know, adult children or who a parent has died. And they have come back and said to me, you know, no, this really addresses loss in general. Like, this is really, so I wrote it with a specific intention. It seems to address a larger feeling, a larger experience.
And you can find those on your website, right?
Yeah. There's on the Coda Press, it's kotapress.com. There's a loss journal in there. If you visit there, you can buy a copy of the book. But there's also an ebook version that has some, it's an expanded version that has some grief articles with it, too. You can find it there. I might also have it, I think I have it also listed on the Mother Henna site under the books that are available there. So there are some creative things actually too, Joan, on the on the Coda Press site.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about, you know, thinking creatively throughout the year. On the Loss Journal of Coda Press, one of the things we post there is a dictionary of loss. Excuse me. We found that once you're sort of walking in that grief experience, language changes. You know, the meaning of words changes, the meaning of your experience changes. And so I started jotting down these words with alternate definitions, what they meant to me now, now that I was walking this odd path. And we started to put them together in a dictionary, so a dictionary of loss. And as I started sharing them with people, other people would write back and say, oh, I have a word. I have a word and a definition. I want to contribute to that. And so the Dictionary of Loss is still actually going. It's still published there electronically, and people can add to it their own words and definitions. And someday we may, once we've got enough words under every letter of the alphabet, we might bring it out in print, but right now it's online. And so that's one creative sort of invitation I have out to people, just as you're redefining your everyday, learning to live life again, if you want to contribute to that.
So, Kara, how do you work with the caregivers around grief and creativity?
Yeah, we're actually, we do presentations, presentations or workshops. I really like to do, even when somebody asks us to come and just, you know, present for just, it's just 40 minutes and we just want you to, you know, tell us about what you're doing. I really like to interact with the folks there because I find that that intimate seminar, you know, that sort of a place of connecting and actually getting people up out of their chairs and doing something is so much more effective than just presenting. And so we're doing these grief and creativity presentations where we're talking about expanding the definition of creativity, first of all, and then helping them to look at all the possible tools that are available, you know, including poetry therapy and art therapy, but, you know, just expanding just problem solving in a more creative way on an everyday level so that when they encounter the families that they're working with as caregivers, they can help, they can be modeling for the families how to begin thinking creatively on this path. And it starts really from the moment of trauma. You know, caregivers who are helping families right at the moment of a child's death, getting creative there, you know, death is such a foreign entity to us. We're really not very integrated here in our culture and in our rituals. Death is very removed from us, you know. The funeral home handles everything. You don't see a lot of people having wakes here where the body is actually tended to by family members. And so what happens when, especially when a baby dies, that those tangible moments with the body of the child go so quickly and are lost if the family is not offered a model of how to handle that. And so one of the things we're doing is raising awareness with caregivers about what are the options available. There's a great film called Losing Layla. It's a documentary. You can get it on DVD now. It's a view of what happened when Layla died. She died at birth, and how the caregivers there in Australia offered some alternative options for the family. They kept Layla with them. They bathed Layla. They actually took Layla home from the hospital and had the memorial service at their home. These are all things that are really foreign to us here. And if you don't have a caregiver who can model that for you and make it, normalize it, and make it okay and not scary, you just don't know that those are options. And so we're trying to raise level of awareness. There are even a few national organizations, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, and then Soul Lumination. They're all volunteer professional photographers who will come after the death of a loved one. It doesn't have to just be death of a child, but death of a loved one. And they'll do photos. They'll do photographs with the family. And especially when a baby has died, capturing their hands and their feet and the curl of the hair. You know, those are things that mother and father are never going to see again after the cremation or the funeral, after the burial. And so to capture those things, it can make a huge difference in the grief path that the family walks in the years after. So just raising awareness on creative possibilities.
Yes, and so it looks like you can, Losing Layla, and Layla is L-A-Y-L-A, and it looks like the documentary is out there for people. And the second one that you just mentioned, how did they find that?
Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep.
Yeah.
If you just search for that, I think you'll find them. It's a .org and a Soul Lumination. She's actually here in Seattle. And I think that's just soullumination.org. And you, as a photographer, as a professional photographer, you can sign up with one of those organizations to volunteer. And then the organization is connecting with the hospitals and the midwives and the caregivers, the hospice workers. And when the organization gets a request for someone to come, the organization then contacts the photographers and kind of pairs up, you know, the caregivers and the photographers.
So those are wonderful resources. Now, you offer home workshops online.
Yes.
How can people participate in those?
Right now, if you go to the motherhenna.com website, there's an events calendar page. And I usually keep whatever home workshops are currently available, keep them posted there for people. And basically the way that works right now is I'm offering them a self-paced. And so people come, and as soon as they register, within 24 hours they get access to the full 6 weeks of materials. That includes MP3s and PDFs, workbook, and then you can work through those things at your own pace and communicate with me at your own pace over the next 6 weeks. In the new year, in 2010, I'm going to probably, they'll still be offered as self-paced, but I'm also going to organize a couple of times each quarter where if you sign up by a certain date, I will actually facilitate the small group of people that sign up at the same time, and we'll have some phone check-ins and an online forum space to communicate while you're all working through it together. Some people find that, you know, they really just want to do it self-paced. It's really a solo exploration. But some people really groove on the small group aspect, too. So I'll offer that small group option a couple times in 2010.
So I want to remind you all that you're listening to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort, and I'm your host, Joan Newcomb. We have to stop for a commercial break right now, but stay tuned as we're talking with Kara Elsie Jones, Grief and Creativity Coach.
learn new things from Joan and her guests that have enhanced your life. If you find this show to be of value to you and that the information and readings have helped you, why not express your appreciation by sending in a contribution to Adventures in Density and Effort to help it stay on the air? The amount you choose to give is entirely up to you. This show appreciates support. Why donate? Joan spends her time directly helping people by creating this weekly radio show, giving away readings on it, and writing new articles for it, always with the primary intention of serving the highest good of all. It is her way of reaching as many people as possible to help them truly enjoy life on Playground Earth. If you want to support Joan helping people bust through their limitations and live a more joyous existence, please send in a contribution. Any amount is appreciated. You can do so through Joan at joannewcomb.com at www.paypal.com. Thanks for your support.
Has the density of the planet Earth got you down? Are you experiencing too much effort in creating your reality and not enough fun? You deserve a private psychic reading by Joan in person or over the phone. Joan gives amazingly accurate insights and offers clear and compassionate guidance about your life, relationships, family, career, money, future, and more. Contact Joan today. Email her at joan@joannewcomb.com. And hey, listen up. Because she's giving a special just for you, mention that you've been listening to the show on Contact Talk Radio and receive 10% off the cost of a session. Don't waste another minute. Email joan@joannewcomb.com and shine some light on your life today.
Matrix Energetics is the wave of the future, only it's here and now. Matrix Energetics has to be experienced to know the way it can shift your reality in powerful ways. Matrix Energetics is a system of transformation based on the laws of quantum physics, consciousness, and focused intent. It creates change on a multidimensional level. It can take you to where you've only dreamed of being. Are you ready to turbocharge your ride through life? Contact Joan for a Matrix Energetics session today. It is effective in person or over the phone. Email Joan at joannewcomb.com. That's Joan at joannewcomb.com. Psst, don't tell anyone. This is just for you. Mention you listen to the show on Contact Talk Radio and receive 10% off the cost of a session.
Welcome back. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio's Adventures in Density and Effort. I'm your host, Joan Newcomb, and we are talking with Kara Elsie Jones, Grief and Creativity Coach. And we've been covering, first of all, we covered different rituals that people could do in creative ways that you can get through the holidays, not just the holidays, but, you know, anniversaries and other times when you're grieving the loss of a loved one. And most recently, we were talking about the books that you've written and some resources for people who've lost a child specifically. And I know you're also talking about your working with caregivers and your new thing, which is your home workshops online. Now, the other thing that I noticed that you have going on here is your Mother Hannah and Your Thousand Faces project. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. That actually started a couple of years ago. The Thousand Faces came out of, I was exploring Jizo's, the mythology about Jizo, and I was exploring the mythology studies that Joseph Campbell had done, his, you know, Thousand Faces of a Hero. And I decided I was going to make 1,000 pieces of artwork that incorporated faith and some sort of stylistic element and, you know, sort of dedicate that group of artwork to Jizo and to what I felt was, you know, a light that came to us in the darkest moment, in the hopes that each of those pieces of artwork, as other people saw them, might have that same sense of light come to them. And so I started the project in 2007. And I got really close at the beginning of 2009 to completing the 1,000 pieces. But almost half of them were digital. hands, I lost a hard drive and a backup. And so I lost almost 500 of the pieces in the beginning of 2009. And after, you know, sort of stomping around for a couple of weeks, I decided to just pick up again, pick up where I left off. And I decided there was another 500 faces in there somewhere. And so just a couple weeks ago, in the middle of November or so, I was participating in an online talent called Art Every Day. So we were making at least one piece of art every day during the month of November. And so halfway through that month, I actually reached 1,000 again. And so I feel in a way like it's kind of my, not quite the first 1,000, because I feel like even the ones that were lost sort of count in some way. And it also gave me this epiphany of it feels like a milestone to reach that 1,000. There was an intention and a goal set there, but I also came to this realization of, well, there's another 1,000. You know, I sort of hit the 1,000 mark in the middle of November and kept going with the challenge, you know, the Art Every Day challenge, and just making art every day for myself. And that the 1,000 faces really does come out of that sense of mythology that broke open for me when my son died. That what fell away when he died was any definition of self and job and love and relationship. And what shattered into the 1,000 pieces were all these alternative definitions of living a life and facing loss and what is self and, you know, what do you do? And so I feel like the 1,000 Faces project, it sort of reached its original intention and it keeps going. You know, it's sort of like the love I have for my son, you know, just because the physical relationship changed, the love keeps going. It doesn't end. So, yeah.
As you were talking, I immediately thought of Peace Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And, you know, her intention was to walk like 10,000 miles for peace. But, you know, she hit 10,000 miles in and kept walking for like the next 20 years. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it feels very much like that. And it's been interesting, too, to see, you know, just my own process with it. A little series of pieces have come out of the 1,000. So the 1,000 feels like a whole piece. But there's also been small groups of 10 or 20 or 30 pieces that revolve around a theme or style, and then taking those series of pieces out into the world. And I kind of feel like that's another step in reconnecting to the world after loss. You know, after the major grief comes and you just hunker in and you just don't want to connect to the world at large at all. I feel like this process of the 1,000 Faces and these small series in the 1,000 have helped me reconnect back to the world at large, because this series talks about, you know, in particular I've been doing kabuki stuff recently, and so it's reconnected me to artists who are working in that realm, and I had a realm of sort of indie girls, and it kind of reconnected me to that music world of indie girl music, you know. So it's been an interesting process to really embrace the radical creativity, you know, that no matter what happens in a day, what we have to do and pay bills and, you know, all the things you have to do that are like, oh, okay, you know, get the laundry done, whatever. In conjunction with that, to make the choice of radical creativity, too, in addition to doing the dishes.
So it's been very much a healing process for you coming through the years. How old would Coda be by now?
He would be 11 in March 2010.
Yeah, and just injecting my little mystical standpoint, I remember sitting and talking with you once and having this vision of him. And, you know, I didn't, you know, I never knew you at the time or anything, but, I mean, I suddenly saw this little boy who was, I think he was about 8 at the time, and had this afro, And it's weird. I've known you and Hawk so long that I'd forgotten he was black. I was like, I've seen actually the baby picture of Coda on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, so it startled me to see somebody who was, you know, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So from my psychic standpoint, it reaffirms that he has been growing along. He has been growing along with you during this time. So the woman who felt inspired, you were talking about earlier, to buy school supplies, you know, probably had her child behind her whispering into her ear what to buy. So.
Exactly. And listening to that whisper, you know, being willing to listen to those whispers of your heart.
So so you have these ongoing classes online. Do you have anything else coming up?
I'm doing some teletraining through the MISS Foundation, MISSFoundation.org. We're doing, for anyone who becomes a volunteer there, we're doing trainings throughout 2010 on various topics. And to volunteer there, it's what we call them our mentorships, our hope mentorships. It's really peer support. So if you're a bereaved grandparent, it's matching you up with another grandparent. If you're a bereaved parent or a bereaved sibling, matching you up with another parent or sibling. So we're doing those trainings. And then I'm starting to just update some of our materials and get it out to be offering more presentations to caregivers. So students who are studying to become social workers or therapists or nurses, to start doing some more presentations from them. We'll be down at University of Washington in Tacoma in January, working with some social work students. So, you know, that kind of thing. If anyone out there is listening and interested, I definitely would like to be making more of those connections in 2010 for sure.
So how people can get in touch with you is through your website.
Mm-hmm. Motherhenna.com.
And also Coda Press.
Yes, you can reach me that way, too.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know?
Just that, you know, whatever is happening in their lives, they're all invited to radically choose creativity. Come join.
So that's it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, an ongoing invitation.
So the thing that it comes to mind to remind people that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And Christmas sucks. So it's these are tough times for everyone. And if you have been, you know, knocked to your knees by life occasions, just, you know, how you can get through it a little bit at a time is with creativity, is bringing the light out for you.
Yeah, there's a big light at the end of the tunnel, but where you are in the middle of the tunnel where it's really dark, there's also a candle.
Oh, I really like that image.
Yeah.
You know, things like this, shows like this, and your services are definitely a candle, you know, for these folks, for folks out there. So I'd like to thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks so much.
And actually, before I complete, there was this one last burning question. Is just anything else that I think I asked you this about anything else you want our listeners to know, but is there, anything else specifically besides that you'd like them to know? It just felt like there's another piece of information that didn't get said yet.
Just to come check out the resources that we've got. We've got so many, free e-books and columns for how-tos and making creative choices. We will have some collaborations happening in 2010 where I'm inviting people to make art together and, look at different aspects of their lives and share that with other people. And just that ongoing invitation, please come check it out and join us at motherhenna.com and on the blog. There's a space to speak your story.
So that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And good luck with this new year.
Yeah, thanks, Joan. You too.
So just want to let folks know a few things as we're wrapping up the show here. I am at East West Books tomorrow in Seattle doing readings at my regular time from 12 to 6. And actually, before I go on there, Carrie, you're still on the line, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
We didn't really talk specifically about your grief and creativity coaching.
Mm-hmm. People can contact me again through motherhenna.com, and I'm glad to work with people one-on-one if you've got specific issues or just a general overall, help me. you can contact me through motherhenna.com or Kara, K-A-R-A, at motherhenna.com by email. I'm glad to work with people one-on-one.
Yeah, so I just, that was the thing that was sort of niggling at the back of my head, is that this is another additional support for you out there, is this kind of coaching. So, great. So now we will wrap up the show, and I want to let folks know that my guest next week on January 5th, her name is Reverend Norma Edwards. She's an educator, humanitarian, and recognized leader in the field of spiritual development and community empowerment. She was born in French Guiana, South America, and educated at the University of London in England. She has got 33 years of wisdom accumulated from a close walk with God, 7 major spiritual teachers, and a life-changing near-death experience. She teaches people from all walks of life how to incorporate age-old spiritual principles into practical daily living. And besides an active prison ministry in Washington, D.C., Rev. Norma is founder and director of Reprogram Your Life, a successful spiritually-based intervention process pioneering the use and toning in the recovery process. And her website is reprogramyourlife.net. So tune in next Tuesday for another great show at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and we'll leave you with more of Kevin MacLeod's Sunshine.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'd like to thank you for tuning in and for calling in. It's always great to hear from you. So tune in next Tuesday and every Tuesday at 3 o'clock Pacific Time, 6 o'clock Eastern, and 11 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time for another show in Adventures in Density and Effort.